The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tip off the weekend with our first game of our NBA Friday doubleheader, Celtics and Sixers on Friday night on ESPN. Then Saturday, we got Duke and Louisville highlighting our full day of hoops across all the networks. And then Saturday night on ESPN Plus, don't forget, Conor McGregor is back. It's UFC 257. Should be a spectacular weekend of sports right here on ESPN. And with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Greeny, and we are busy. Here is the menu for hour number two. We are getting up with Patrick Mahomes. 5 days and counting to the championship game. Will the best player in the sport be on the field? Plus, you cannot possibly ask for more than we get in the NFC game. Brady, Rodgers, the Super Bowl at stake. Which legend has the advantage? We're taking you inside. And Deshaun dropping hints about where he wants to go. And I will tell you right now, at least one thought he has works just perfectly for me. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now with this breaking news. The New York Mets, within the last hour, have fired their general manager, Jared Porter, after Porter admitted sending explicit, unsolicited texts to a female reporter back in 2016 when he worked for the Cubs. The reporter, who moved to the U.S. to cover baseball, said that at one point she ignored more than 60 messages from Porter before he sent her a final lewd photo. She then responded asking him to stop. Porter responded by apologizing. Last night, he acknowledged to ESPN that he had texted the woman, but claims the explicit photos were not of him. Then, a little more than an hour ago, the owner of the New York Mets, Steve Cohen, tweeted, quote, "We have terminated Jared Porter this morning. In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior." This story was reported by our Mina Kimes and Jeff Passan. They broke it last night. There was enormous detail on ESPN.com. And if you're interested in this, I recommend reading the story in its entirety because there's so much there. But Jeff gets up with us early here today. And so, Jeff, let's start with this. The allegations are now from nearly 5 years ago in 2016. Why are they just coming to light now?
Greeny, let me walk you through the timeline here as to how this happened. Back in December of 2017, ESPN, from a baseball source, received these messages. We went to talk with the woman at the time, and she was still working in media then and was uncomfortable with the idea that if we publish these messages, it could potentially harm her career. And it gets to, I think, the power dynamic that is at play here. Jared Porter was the director of pro scouting for the Chicago Cubs at the time of this incident. And he is in a position of authority. This was a woman from a foreign country who didn't speak a lot of English, didn't know the customs, didn't know all of the things that allow you to function in a daily society and understand what is happening to you when something like this occurs. And I think it takes time for some people upon whom something like this is perpetrated to come to terms with it, to understand what they've gone through, and to muster up the courage to come forward and speak about it publicly. It took her a long time, but when Jared Porter ascended to the New York Mets general manager position, she felt like she did not want what happened to her to happen to someone else. And that gave her the resolve to speak out publicly about it.
And we should point out she's no longer working in the industry again. There is enormous detail in this story. I recommend you read it if you are interested on ESPN.com. Meanwhile, Porter worked for the Cubs, as you point out at the time, then the Diamondbacks, and now, up until today, the Mets. Is there any reason to believe any of those teams knew anything about this?
Well, I spoke with people in the organizations yesterday, and they were shocked and listen, it's certainly possible to feign surprise if you did know, but there is no indication at this point that either the Cubs or the Diamondbacks or the New York Mets knew about this before hiring Jared Porter. And the Cubs have said they are investigating this at the time in their handling of the situation. And the Mets clearly have made the ultimate move, firing Jared Porter this morning.
And clearly, the baseball piece of this is the least important piece of this story. But I feel like I should ask, what do the Mets do now? They are in the midst of their offseason. They've made quite a few very high-profile moves, and they've just fired their general manager. So what is next for them?
I mean, the Mets were in the midst of making a trade yesterday for Joey Lucchese, the left-handed pitcher, as we were finalizing this story. I spoke with someone last night who had been in discussion with the Mets on a potential free agent contract, and he, you know, he has no idea what's going to come of that now. So the Mets are in flux right now, and how they handle this going forward. As Steve Cohen said, integrity is important to this organization. How are they going to rescue what they've lost with this?
All right, that's Jeff Passan with the very latest. Again, he and Mina Kimes with the story in its entirety on ESPN.com. Jeff, thank you very much for being here and sharing all of this. It is never an easy segue to move from something like this to anything, but we do. Let's go to the National Football League, where, of course, this weekend it is the NFL's version of the Final Four. And the biggest storyline headed in is the status of Patrick Mahomes, who remains in the moment in the NFL's concussion protocol. This is one of the huge stories. Will he be able to suit up Sunday against the Bills? That's the question. Here's his coach, Andy Reid.
I mean, there's a chance you know, back in the day that Patrick comes in. I mean, you know, comes back in. And I think Patrick could tell you, I mean, you saw him run up the tunnel. And by the time he got to that point, he was feeling pretty good. There's a certain protocol that you have to follow. And that takes it out of the trainer's hand and player's hand and doctor's hand.
So my insider, Dan Graziano, joins me. Yes, there are any number of protocols. So I guess the question I want to ask you is, how will we know how this is going as the week progresses, and when will we know, when will they know, whether they will have Patrick Mahomes on the field Sunday?
Yeah, look, technically, because of the way the concussion protocol works, they really won't know 100% until Sunday, because if at any point he's advancing through the protocols and then shows concussion symptoms again, he has to go back to the beginning. So we've seen in the past players be cleared to play on a Friday, and then symptoms show up on a Saturday or Sunday, and then they're held out of the game. So that's possible. I don't want anybody to panic necessarily. But the point that Andy Reid's making there is it's out of their hands. This isn't like a hamstring pull where it's a matter of how limited would he be or can he play through pain. The concussion protocol is very strict. It's designed to protect the player from himself, from the team. And unless he meets every single step along the way and continues to not show symptoms after he does so, then he will not be advancing through the protocol. So watch practice report Wednesday, Thursday. If he's out there doing anything, that's obviously a good sign, but no certainty until he gets to Sunday without showing more symptoms.
All right, Dan, let me bring the guys in here now. I've got Jeff Saturday and Marcus Spears with me this morning. And I'm going to put this, instead of in the form of a question, I'm going to put it in the form of a statement. Jeff Saturday, I will start with you. It is my belief that if Patrick Mahomes is unavailable and cannot play, the Chiefs have next to no chance of beating the Bills and going to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
I disagree with you, Greeny. Listen, I understand how good Patrick Mahomes is as a player, but there's 52 other guys who would have issue with what you just said. And you saw Chad Henne come in and play. Is it going to be different? Would it be more difficult? But don't disrespect Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Spagnuolo on the defensive side. There are a lot of good football players on this team. They would still have a chance to beat the Bills even without Mahomes.
What do you think, Marcus?
Yeah, saying no chance is a bit much, but it's a lot harder to do it, especially with Josh Allen and this offense and their ability to explode. And not to mention Leslie Frazier giving up 3 points to the Baltimore Ravens, this Bills defense. So, yes, it's tough. It's a tall, tall mountain to climb if you don't have Patrick Mahomes. He is the mountain. He is the guy that everybody is trying to chase right now in this league when it comes to the consistency and winning and how he's been playing. But look, without him, I'm not confident, especially with how good the Bills have looked over the last 2 months of this season, winning any type of way they needed to. Yes, I didn't like a 10-point output against the Baltimore Ravens, which is a really good defense. But look, man, it's going to be tough to beat the Bills without Patrick Mahomes. I'm just here to tell everybody.
Hey, Greeny.
And I got a tremendous amount of respect for the guys on that roster.
Go ahead, Jeff, real quick.
Yeah, let me just say this. As far as it's Mahomes' off-schedule plays that makes him the most difficult to play against, right? But it's not just a concussion. He has a toe issue as well. His mobility was limited anyway. So the off-schedule stuff, I'm not sure is going to be nearly as good as it was before the toe injury. So it's not just a concussion, in my opinion. It's kind of both and for Mahomes. But again, part of the concussion is probably you can't protect yourself nearly as well as you can when you're fully healthy.
All right, obviously, this is the overwhelming story going into the weekend. I have to leave it there, Marcus. I'm up against a break, but we will come back. I promise. This clearly is the story to watch all weekend long. But coming up next, despite Kyrie's absence, the Nets have looked unstoppable with KD and Harden. Are they better off without him? We will get the answer to that question on the way. And then speaking of questions, Deshaun Watson dropping hints about where he wants to play next season. I'm getting pretty excited about one of them, and you'll hear what it is as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and the game of the night last night, the Brooklyn Nets. Of course, with the brand new acquisition of James Harden in his second game taking on Giannis, and the Bucks could be a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals. And if so, I'll take seven of these. What a game. Here's Harden in the fourth quarter, putting his team up seven. Harden, 34 points, 12 assists. But the Bucks weren't going quietly into that good night. Down three, 5 minutes to go. A loose ball will find Brook Lopez, and Lopez will find the bottom of the net for three. We're all tied at 110. $1.20 to play. Tied at 119 now. Drew Holiday working in the lane. No good. Giannis, yes, he had 34. Bucks a two-point lead. Ensuing Nets possession. It's Harden. Probing, finding Joe Harris for three. Nets a one-point lead. Back come the Bucks. A minute to play. Same score. Chris Middleton finds a spot. Bucks take the lead back. Good game. Nets ball. 45 seconds left. It's Durant working. Kicks it out. Harden, no good. But watch Harden follow the shot and get it back to KD. KD, oh, that's so good. He had 30 points, 9 boards, 6 assists. The bench loves it. Just over 10 to play. Nets by 2, looking to put it away. But hold on. KD gets it knocked away. The turnover, the Bucks have a chance. Down 2, 3.8 seconds to go. Where are you going for the bucket to try to win it? Where's Giannis? They don't go to Giannis. They go to Middleton. Middleton, a contested 3 that does not go. Giannis frustrated, and here's why. Middleton does not see that Giannis is all by himself driving the lane, but the shot is up and no good, and the Nets come away with a thriller of a win, 125-123, and let us talk it over. Oh, it's been too long since we've had the occasion to say good morning to Jay Will from KJZ Radio, of course, coast to coast, and he's got a minute for me here. Give me your sense through 2 games. Harden and Durant, they've combined for 138 points and 2 good wins. How good are they together?
I mean, Harden's either scored or assisted on 129 points in 2 games, Greeny. In 2 games. And that's why I said before, I think this is the most gifted scoring trio the league has ever seen. And we haven't even added in Kyrie Irving yet. You have a guy who is a multiple-time scoring champ in James Harden, but also averages 10 assists per game. You put the ball in his hands, and then you allow him to play off of guys like Kevin Durant, who's one of the most efficient players the game has ever seen with his size and his length. And then when you become additive and you bring Kyrie Irving into the situation, a guy who is a wizard with the ball, who also can score in transition, I think it makes a unique combination of people that can get it done in a variety of different ways. But I do want to tell you this last night, Greeny. I don't think that is the headline walking away from this game last night. You said it in the last question you asked. You said, where is Giannis? That was the question I had. I don't care about what the Bucks do in a regular season anymore. They've won 2 regular seasons with the best record in the league 2 years in a row. okay? What I care about is Giannis, the reigning defensive player of the year. How come he wasn't guarding Kevin Durant down the stretch last night? That's a matchup everybody wanted to see. Everybody's been talking trash this entire offseason about the fact that Giannis doesn't guard the primary scorer's responsibility. That's not his. People have been calling him out. And then also down the stretch, I'm tired of Giannis being a nice guy. We watched the metamorphosis for people like Kevin Durant becoming the villain, guys like LeBron James becoming the villain, demanding the ball at the end-of-game scenario. The fact that Coach Bud drew that play up for Chris Middleton lets you know about a guy who is the highest-paid player in North American sports, $45 million a year. It's time for Giannis to be that person that says, no, Coach Bud, give me the damn ball, and it's time for me to close this game out the way I know I can close it out. That's what I was waiting for last night when watching that Nets-Bucks game.
I like it. And so there's obviously a lot to unpack. But let me, in the moment I have left with you here, go back to the previous thought, because they're a dynamic duo right now, Harden and Durant, and they've looked very good. You said it will be additive when they bring Kyrie Irving in. Tim Legler earlier this morning told me he has a lot of concerns for how that will fit. How do you think it fits?
This is going to be Kevin Durant's chance to lead his team to a world championship. People always question about, even though he was a two-time finals MVP in Golden State, well, that's Stephen Curry's team. Well, this is Kevin Durant's team now in Brooklyn. James Harden will acquiesce to Kevin Durant. The question is, will Kyrie Irving? And Tim Legler also said that, look, the pecking order is KD, James Harden, then Kyrie. So I know that Steve Nash, due to his affiliation with the Golden State Warriors and his time spent with Kevin, is the guy that Kevin Durant stamped as the leader and the coach of this team. I know Mike D'Antoni, on the bench, has spent time with James Harden and has familiarity with James Harden. He can manage that relationship. The biggest question for the Nets, who will manage Kyrie Irving? And there's no doubt about it, that has to be Kevin Durant. That is his responsibility. If KD can do that and lead with Kyrie Irving, then his team can win a world championship. But if he can't, it can also implode.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different ways that could go, because there's the basketball fit and then there's the relationships of it all. Just outstanding. Again, Jay Williams, KJZ, coast to coast, every single morning on ESPN Radio. All right, Zubin is yelling for you right now, so I got to let you go. I will see you a little later, my man, the great Jay Will with us here on Get Up. We'll continue. Coming up, you can't ask for more. Brady versus Rodgers with the Super Bowl at stake. Which legend has the advantage? Our experts take you inside the game. And speaking of experts, Graziano head-to-head with Hembo was the main event. Who was the last player to catch 20 touchdown passes in a season, including the playoffs? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This is a great question as Graziano and Sneaky Hembo go head-to-head. Devontae Adams has 19 touchdown catches, including the playoffs this year. Who was the last player to catch 20 in a season, Dan Graziano, including the playoffs?
This is one of those where I know somebody did it. I'm worried it wouldn't be the most recent, but I know Rob Gronkowski did it. I think it was the second year they lost to the Giants in the playoffs, so 2011. Is Rob Gronkowski the answer?
You might have known from the look on Hembo's face, even with the mask, you could tell that is correct. You are a machine. Dan Graziano, you are unbelievable. Rob Gronkowski is the correct answer. And with that, you have now taken the lead for 2021 against Sneaky Hembo. Graziano 4, Hembo 3. This is a phenomenal matchup. And look at Graziano's doing the Gronk spike in celebration, and I do not blame him. All right, as we continue in a moment, we're talking about Deshaun Watson. He's dropping hints about where he wants to play next season. There's one of them that definitely caught my attention. That's on the way. Get up on ESPN. That was incredible.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Half past the hour, we're back on Get Up on ESPN, and multiple people in and around the Houston Texans organization believe that Deshaun Watson has played his last snap with that team. He's still upset with the Texans over the process they used to hire general manager Nick Caserio, leading to speculation they may trade him this offseason. And this definitely caught my eye. The New York Post, this was their cover the other day, whatever it takes, suggesting the Jets should go after Deshaun Watson any way they could. And for what it's worth, Deshaun Watson liked that post on Instagram. Social media rarely feels quite that exciting to me. Dan Graziano, our insider, and Mike Tannenbaum is the general manager of our team here on Get Up. So, Mike T, let me start with you. Let's start with Nick Caserio. You walk in the door. You had nothing to do with whatever it is that has him upset. Welcome to your new job. You got this situation. What's the first thing you do if you're him to try and figure this thing out?
You go sit down with Deshaun Watson and his agent where they want to meet, wherever that may be, his hometown. You bring your yellow pad, you listen, and you say, hey, we're going to stack one good day on top of the next, and we're going to move forward together. I can't worry about what happened in the past, and I want you to be part of the coaching search. You're going to talk to some of these candidates. You're not making the decision, but your input is important to me. And when I ran the searches at the Jets and the Dolphins, I had candidates very quietly speak to Chad Pennington, very quietly speak to Ryan Tannehill. The players appreciated being part of the process, and so did the candidates. There's nothing wrong with it, and I think that's a good first step, Greeny, to repairing the relationship.
I get it, and it makes sense. Dan Graziano, meanwhile, from things that I feel like I'm hearing, and I want to see what you're hearing, that it may be beyond that at this point. My understanding is Deshaun Watson is not returning phone calls and texts to this point. Doesn't mean that he never will, but that maybe we're actually even beyond the point that Mike T is talking about.
There are definitely people around this situation, as Adam reported, and you cited that just now, that believe it's not something that can be repaired and that Deshaun Watson is done with the team. So, yes, I mean, Mike's plan sounds very good. When he was saying it, I was imagining him meeting at a diner somewhere in the middle of New York State for some reason. But that's something Mike did with someone else a long time ago. But I think, you know, the Houston Texans are of a mind that obviously they don't want to trade this player. This is a franchise quarterback, one of the very best in the entire league. And if you trade him, you've got to get an absolute, you know, mountain of picks and maybe players in return. So they would hope that it can be resolved. And there is time. You wonder if the decision on the head coach ultimately helps or hurts the situation. But at some point, you're right, they will have to have a conversation with Deshaun Watson. The question is how amenable he will be to repairing the relationship. Right now, it doesn't sound like he is at all.
So, Mike T, if indeed you wind up, you're in that role, and you get to a point where you realize this is beyond repair, I do have to make a trade. I'm trading one of the great assets that has ever been dealt in any sport. Give me the team out there right now that you're looking at and saying they can offer me the most for my money.
Yeah, it'd be your New York Jets. And if I'm the New York Jets, it's a really easy approach. Under the rules, Greeny, in contemplation of a trade, you can meet with a player. I would sit down with Deshaun Watson if I was Joe Douglas, Coach Sala, Chris Johnson, and say, hey, Deshaun, what's your why? What do you want to accomplish off the field? Because in New York, when you win forever. Look at the billboards of Phil Simms, Bill Parcells. We can help you accomplish what you want off the field, and it could be a force multiplier well beyond your playing days. And candidly, we used a very similar approach with Brett Favre to try to get him to come to the Jets over Tampa Bay. In his case, he wanted a hunt and fish, and we found a 500-acre farm that was close to the Jet facility. And I know to this day that was a big reason why he chose us over Tampa Bay. And I would use the same approach if I was the Jets. I would find out what's important to Deshaun Watson,
show him why New York City is a unique place for him. And then I would say to Houston, like, we could look at Khalil Mack. We could look at when Jay Cutler went from Denver to the Bears, and we could put a package together that can make you competitive and make you whole, and then we get Deshaun Watson.
What's the package? Give me a sense. If you're Kazaria, what are you saying you need?
I would say two ones, which you have, a second-round pick, and maybe Quinnen Williams. And that's very competitive when you look at Eli Manning, when you look at Khalil Mack, and when you look at Jay Cutler going from Denver to Chicago. So two ones, a two, and Quinnen Williams.
Okay, Mike T, we will keep you close on this as this continues to develop. Maybe it heads to that point. Maybe they in Houston can figure out a way to head that off. Let me go to Jeff Saturday and Marcus Spears, who were here this morning. And Jeff, earlier today, you made the point, I just wonder after listening to that conversation, you said there are no circumstances, if you were in Houston, where you trade Deshaun Watson. Why is that?
Yeah, because he is a cultural changer in that locker room. Listen, I get it. Mike T's making the most sense about who you would trade for, but at the end of the day, those are all guesses. You know the asset you have in Deshaun Watson, and I don't just mean the player on the field. I mean the leader in the locker room, the leader in the community, all the intangibles that everyone's always looking for. And listen, this is a very methodical player. This is a guy who has won championships. He understands what it takes to get his team there. This is not a guy that's flippant with his emotions, right? He's upset about what's going on. I think cooler heads prevail. There's no way I'm letting this guy out. He is just too valuable of an asset. We talk about it all the time. The most important player in the sports franchise, the franchise QB, you got to keep him. There's just no way you would trade this guy out.
What do you think, Marcus?
I love all that Jeff just said. I can't wait to see what Deshaun Watson play next year because it ain't going to be in Houston. And Jeff's right. Like, and listening to Mike T and Graz as well. But the problem is this is an issue with ownership. That's not changing. It's not. It yeah. doesn't have anything to do with Casario. It doesn't have anything to do with the coach that's hired. This is about Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, and Deshaun Watson. All right? And though it's two things that's not changing in Houston. The fact that they messed up a lot while Deshaun Watson has been the quarterback, and Cal McNair ain't about to sell the team. And I think that is where the issues derive from. If we were talking about movable people, if we were talking about people that you could get on the board, if the ownership was in line with Deshaun Watson, then they needed to fix something with the GM or the head coach, all of that stuff is easy. You can have a conversation. You can do all of that. But when it's ownership and the franchise quarterback at odds with each other, that's very hard to salvage based on years of issues, not just this particular one.
Yeah, this one feels as though it goes well beyond the football field, clearly. This is the story of the NFL offseason as we work our way towards that. Meanwhile, in order to lighten the mood and have a little fun, it is time for Jeff to serve up the pancakes.
Set them down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw them out the club. Swagoo, throw them out the club. You see them? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh!
Celebrating the big fellows, the pancake blocks, and all of those who make the best blocks every single week. It is Jeff Saturday with Sat 'em Down. Go ahead, Jeff. The floor is yours.
Greeny, I couldn't be more fired up. It's a very centerific process today. Ryan Jensen, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look at him finish right here. Look at the nastiness right here. Just go take his own and then dump him. I'm not done with you. The whistle might be blowing. And look at my favorite part is he holds him down even after the play just to make sure he knows, hey, I just put you on your back, little man. One pancake for Jensen and just complete domination. You thought I was leaving, but I ain't leaving, baby. Watch this as he runs him out of bounds. Gets him. Catches him on the edge. We call this hanging you on a peg. You see how you're trying to escape? And then dumps him out of bounds, baby. I mean, how much better does that get right there? You're right behind the receiver, so you know you're on TV. Two pancakes for taking him out of bounds and putting him on his back. I absolutely love it. And hey, listen, this might be my favorite. Big Perk son. Are you? He just Devoing out there. Look at him snatch it up. I mean, just snatches it back from him. Perk got this kid right already. Hey, this could be, if he gets that basketball out of his hand, this right here could be an offensive lineman. That's what I'm talking about. It's that type of attitude that carries brings you to the next level. Look at him. Look at him right there, Swag. Three pancakes for the walk-off, baby. Three pancakes for that walk-off.
Swagger, what do you think?
That is King of Perkins' son. Walk him out, baby. Perk got his boy right.
Perk got his son.
That is his son. He was on Kendrick's Instagram. That is his son playing basketball.
Perk, what are you doing? What are you doing, Perk? What's going on?
Oh, oh my goodness. Just unfair.
Perk's son out here shacked in the fool, man. That's amazing.
That's amazing. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll try and restore order to the proceedings. Coming up after a tough playoff loss, the Ravens are airing their grievances. You'll hear what they are and what they need to do about it. Next, Swagoo's going to pull it together. Back in a moment on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tomorrow morning on ESPN and the ESPN app, it is the second of three huge UFC events on Fight Island. The prelims start 9 a.m. Eastern time. The main card comes at noon, so we will start your morning at 7 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. We'll be on from 7 to 9, so an hour earlier, leading into the prelims. Should be an exciting main event between top 10 welterweights. Michael Chiesa taking on Neil Magny. That is tomorrow here on ESPN. Again, we'll be on an hour early. We are normally with you here 8 until 10 a.m. Eastern time, which means we're with you commercial-free for the next 15 minutes. Get up on ESPN. And then at the top of the hour, it is time for First Take. And they're today asking, are Kevin Durant and James Harden better off without Kyrie Irving? Max, Stephen A., and Molly debate that and more next. Meanwhile, now, Swagoo. What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It's been too long since we've done this. Swagoo says, I will play a soundbite, and Marcus Spears will tell us exactly what these people really meant, as only he can. Let's start with this. After Chad Henne's huge late fourth quarter plays, Patrick Mahomes tweeted, hashtag Hennything is possible. Henne was then asked postgame if he is on social media, and here's what he said.
I mean, other than LinkedIn, I don't think hashtag Henne Given Sunny or Sunday or Henne Given Possible is going to show up on LinkedIn.
So that's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
Gee, you know what? After that run, man, you get some fame. When Patrick Mahomes endorses you, the fame comes and it goes through the roof. But I worked with a guy named Dan Orlovsky, who was a career backup in the NFL. And I know these guys are on LinkedIn because that's where you live in case you need to get a job. And that's what Henne is telling y'all. I'm only on LinkedIn in case I needed to get a job because I was a backup. And Twitter and Instagram, I ain't famous and popular enough to be on there. So I don't see the hashtags. I'm a backup QB. I'm on LinkedIn just in case this don't work out and I need to find employment elsewhere.
He's been in the NFL for 15 years. He's on LinkedIn, and that's the only social media he seems to know. Okay, next one. After the Bucks' huge win against the Saints in the divisional round, Leonard Fournette was asked what it's like in the locker room being able to celebrate. Here's what he said.
It's great. I'm not going to lie to you. Just knowing that it was always back in my mind how they embarrassed us. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'm a man first. You know, I put all my time, my hard work into this game. You don't just forget things like that. You know what I mean? They try to rub it in our face.
That's what Leonard Fournette said. What does Swagoo say?
Man, y'all forgot. Y'all must have forgot I played for Jacksonville. You damn right I'm happy to be here. And the fact that they rubbed it in my face and I'm from New Orleans and I came home and did what I did and balled out and took Tampa, helped take Tampa to the NFC Championship. Leonard Fournette is just going through his history in the NFL and realizing, like he told y'all, I'm a man too. I've been disrespected because I was in Jacksonville. I was disrespected when we lost to the Saints. I'm from New Orleans. This is my crib. So I came back to take what was rightfully mine.
And he played great. He was a huge part of that game on Sunday as well. All right, one more for you, Marcus. The Ravens bounced from the playoffs on Saturday night after losing to the Bills. Wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown, not too pleased with the passing offense. Here's what he said.
Whenever you, like, the number one rushing and the 30-something passing is like, that's not right. That's not balanced. So we got to find a way to, you know, balance our game, you know. Even with our great rushing attack, we got to be able to throw the ball. We got to be able to, you know, move the ball through the air.
So that's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
G. G. I wanted to say something different about Marquise Brown, but I can't because somebody else said this. Somebody else been saying this since the beginning of the season. Somebody on your show on Tuesday mornings when we were talking about the Ravens said they need to evolve in the passing game. Somebody said that. Now, I know this is Swagoo says, and I keep saying somebody said that. So y'all know who the hell I'm talking about.
It was Swagoo who said it. And with that thought, it was you, Jeff Saturday. He was saying it too. And I think one time when he said they need to pass the ball more, you said he was high. So what do you say now when we saw what happened on Saturday night in Buffalo where they had basically no ability to throw the ball at all? Jeff Saturday, how much concern do you have for the one sort of the one-dimensional nature of their offense?
I got concern for Brown going on TV talking about we got to get better. You're the one. So somebody's coming in to take your job. You're not going to be the two. You help Swagoo's point, which hurts my feelings. But you're getting yourself fired, man. Like, you're going to bump down the scale. If you got to have a guy, if you're the one and you can't get open against Buffalo, we're in trouble, right? I mean, listen, and I get it. They did need to play better. But if I'm looking at it, I'm saying receiver, because Ryan Stanley, their left tackle, will be back. Their offensive line's getting better, but I would go find a one to help them. They have to have somebody who can continue to help Lamar Jackson, get him more guys around him. And again, I love the tight end sets. I love what they do. But to that point, I can't believe Brown gets on TV and talks about it, man. I mean, you're supposed to be the guy that's getting open and making all the plays. Obviously, we ain't making enough, so we got to get somebody who can.
Well, Marcus, so we looked on Saturday night and we see Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And one of them, their team went out and got Stephon Diggs this past offseason, and the other one didn't.
That's right.
Am I oversimplifying it, Marcus, or is that the way we should look at it?
Hell no, you're not oversimplifying it, G. I've been screaming it. I've been hollering. No, it's not for the entire season. Yes, you keep your same ground and pound mentality. There will come a time. G, how many times I said this? G, tell the people how many times I said there would come a time where the Baltimore Ravens needed a passing game to win, and they did not have one in the game they needed. Look, it ain't like Buffalo came out there offensively and was world beaters. Buffalo scored 17 points, and one was a pick six, and the Ravens couldn't muster more than 3 points. You know why? Because they didn't evolve their passing game. Again, let me explain. This is not about Lamar Jackson not having the ability to throw the football. Lamar Jackson can throw the football. He can put the ball where it needs to be and allow his guys to make plays. This passing game and the way they run it will not win a championship for the Baltimore Ravens. I was screaming it. Marquise Brown had to say it to bring Jeff Saturday across the line. I can't believe you, Jeff Saturday. I can't believe you. You don't trust somebody you don't know over me.
Let me get Graziano in here, because the question is, I guess it's really a two-part question. Do the Ravens understand it that way? And if so, what are the options out there? We talked, Marcus and I, yesterday on my radio show about Allen Robinson. It feels like every team in the NFL views Allen Robinson as their chance of getting Stephon Diggs this year.
Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay is a free agent. Look, there are options. You know, I don't think the Browns would trade Odell Beckham in the division, but you know, guys like that are out there. The passing game evolved from 2018 to 2019 a little bit. It did not really evolve from 2019 to 2020 in the way that they hoped it would, whether that was lack of offseason, whether it's personnel related, etc. I would expect them to pound the pavement for a wide receiver. It's been difficult for them to get wide receivers to sign there because of the perception that they are a run only team. So they have to continue to work on that. Maybe they draft somebody high to pair with Marquise Brown, but it's a personnel issue in terms of adding to that wide receiver group, and it is also a matter of them developing as a passing offense in an offseason that hopefully, for everyone's sake, will be more normal.
Boy, could you imagine Juju Smith-Schuster, who's only 24. Yes, go ahead, real quick, Marcus.
Yep, another one.
G, guess what? Yeah. Guess what? The Ravens need to evolve their passing game.
He said it literally every Tuesday of this season. Okay, let's leave that one there for the moment. Let's get to the NFC Championship game because, candidly, you can't ask for more. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, despite having both made the playoffs in 10 different seasons, this will be the first postseason in which they actually cross paths, the first playoff meeting between them. It'll be the fourth time in playoff history that quarterbacks with multiple MVPs go head-to-head. The others, Brady and Manning, Warner and Favre and Steve Young. And in terms of conference championship games, Brady versus Rodgers will be the oldest quarterback matchup ever, as well as the one with the most combined passing yards and passing touchdowns all time. You can't ask for a better matchup than this. And then to sort of spice up the whole conversation, Bruce Arians, the always outspoken coach of the Buccaneers, said this to NBC Sports' Peter King about Tom Brady, quote, consummate leader, has been all year, got the air of confidence that permeates through our team every day. I allow him to be himself. Like New England didn't allow him to coach, I allow him to coach. I just sit back sometimes and watch. Huh. So we talked about that a little earlier, and we wondered aloud whether that was a shot at Bill Belichick or not. And so we thought, let's bring in our friend Mike Reese, our outstanding Patriots reporter, and get the very latest from there. Mike, what do we know about how the Patriots, players, coaches, or anyone there, how they feel about watching Tom Brady making it this far, this quickly in his first season out of New England?
Well, Greeny, let's start with the players. I mean, it's always hard to characterize how everyone feels in one broad stroke, but really, I'd sum it up this way. They're pulling for him. The players, if they weren't, it would be like not rooting for your brother in that situation. And here's why I feel confident saying that. I've been on interviews going back to March with the players every day, and to me, they feel like there's no ill will for Tom. He did what he had to do. So for the players, I feel very confident. More, it's about the fans. I think some of the fans here in New England are having a tough time watching Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform going to his 14th conference championship game.
And very quickly, I want to ask you this, and you know him as well as anybody can in your role. We will never know what Bill Belichick thinks of this, right? Like, he will never, you will ask that question, and he will literally never answer it, right?
Well, I think you nailed it. I was going to say, he's going to keep that, you know, for the book he writes, you know, if he ever writes one. I would say he's a no-regrets guy. He makes a decision and he moves on, but you would certainly love to be with him, side next to him, and say, did you move on too early? But he's never going to tell you.
Yeah, I would like to be there while he's watching the games. I would like to be there when he read that comment from Bruce Arians about how he, Arians, lets Brady coach. And in New England, they never did that. Outstanding. Mike Reese, it's great to see you. Let me bring my crew back in here for some final thoughts on that. So, Jeff Saturday, did Bruce Arians just take a shot at Bill Belichick? That's your guy, B.A. Did he just take a shot at Belichick?
Greeny, Bruce Arians is high. I'm telling you again, second time in the same show, and I think this is the third time I've had to call B.A. this, because he gets all caught up in his feelings during his conferences. I don't understand what he's talking about. You just put up 14 championships that he's going for. 13 were in New England. Did they not do something right? Like, I don't care how they got to 13 championships. They got to him. He's got Super Bowl rings on two hands, man. Like, I don't understand how you're going to take a shot at somebody. It confounds me how we'll get there and take a shot. I didn't let him coach. He did enough. Whatever he was doing in New England was right. You got fortunate. You got him in Tampa Bay. And again, he's changed the culture there. But man, don't take shots and throw shade at New England. That's a little bit silly.
Marcus, your thoughts?
Jeff is right about what he's saying. B.A. took a shot, and I'm here for the pity. I just love it. I love it, guys. Like, listen, it is fascinating to me that Bruce Arians, like, gee, you know me, right? I don't have much of a filter. Everybody knows that about me. I can't wait to have a drink with B.A. and a cigar and just have him spill all the tea on everything that's happened in the NFL, especially this relationship between him and Brady and the relationship that Brady told him about with Belichick. I can't wait. I like it. I like it so much.
Graziano, quick thought.
Just throwing elbows. I mean, like, it's, you know, the Buffalo Bills have been laying waste to the entire league for 3 months. You don't hear Sean McDermott come out talk about how great he is doing with a third-year quarterback that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn a year ago. I mean, like, sometimes you just sort of let it happen. But Bruce Arians, you know, he thinks his team is great. They just beat the Saints, who they couldn't beat all year. He's feeling good. If they win on Sunday, we get two more weeks of this leading up to the Super Bowl, and if they win that, he'll never, ever stop talking about
that. Okay, and let's finish it today with the one thing that made us laugh so hard we literally couldn't continue. Once again, Kendrick Perkins posted video of his son on Instagram playing basketball. Marcus Spears, your thoughts?
Show the wall. That's the one right there. Jeez, the reason why it's so funny is because that was me. That was me as a kid. I had to go to every gym, and my mama had to take the birth certificate to prove to everybody that I was young enough to play. And then I would just go up and bow up on all of the little kids. That was me. That's why I'm so funny.
All right, we're out of time. We got to run. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. The conversation, meanwhile, continues here with First Take now.